It's a funny thing we decided to take out our phone ringing opening recently, because this movie is claiming to be about phones. Tonight we're going to talk about a movie that is arguably a transitional slasher film from 70s to 80s, and it's a very confusing title. Tonight, Don't Answer the Phone on the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. You're listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. Welcome to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. I'm Joe.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay.
Hey, guys. It's Matt.
Look at that. Justin can't make it tonight. He has a family emergency. So we wish them well. And hopefully we'll get to talk to him on the next episode. Normally, we're going to put a new segment in the beginning of the episode. But we don't have anything for this week. So I will just say that we're going to have some more episodes than usual this month to kind of make up for the ones that we didn't get to put out in the beginning of the year in January. So I look forward to a couple extra episodes this month. Don't Answer the Phone was released on February 29th, 1980, and it was directed by Robert Hammer. He tried to call this a Hammer production. It didn't work. People understood it wasn't the same company. He wrote this movie with a gentleman named Michael Castle. Surprisingly enough, these guys didn't really seem to do anything after this. The film stars Nicholas Wirth as our killer, Kirk Smith, or Ramon, and we'll explain that later. It also stars Flo Lawrence as Dr. Lindsay Gale, James Westmoreland as Lieutenant Chris McCabe. The film's about a Vietnam vet named Kirk Smith who stalks the streets of Los Angeles, posing as a photographer to lure women and strangle them real good. He speaks to radiotherapist Dr. Lindsay Gale about his affliction and the thoughts on women, as Lieutenant McCabe and Sergeant Hatcher form a task force to stop the killings. This movie was released by Crown International Pictures. Don't Answer the Phone.
Yeah, it's quite an impressive title, you know, especially with the emphasis on the exclamation. When to me, after watching this movie, I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. I was like, what? Don't answer the phone. What are you talking about? Like,
for the don't answer the phone. It could be your mother. She wants to come over.
But Matt, you texted us about, oh, you know, like there's something to be said about like the phone because people don't have it anymore. And it's kind of this like gateway into your home. And I'm like, I don't know if you watched the movie yet.
Okay. No, I just thought it was going to be something to do with not answering the phone.
Everybody did.
Well, yeah. Based on the title, what else would you expect?
I don't think it was going to be like The Ring or something, you know. Like,
no, but people, I mean, you figure
it's like a babysitter killer kind of thing. Like, all right, they're, you know, the calls,
yeah, like, the calls are coming inside the house. I was like, oh, right, is that this exactly. Movie?
Yeah. But I would imagine, like, you know, given the time frame, the guy's at like a payphone with a yellow pages and looking up and like, oh, call up this person. Oh, they're home? Great. I'll be right there. And like,
yeah,
have some not even element. There's literally nothing. Like, it was very confusing to me.
They were like, how are we gonna market this movie? And they just thought of this weird ass title for it. They were like, man, Travis Bickle is out and horror is in. Let's make it sound like a horror movie.
Well, that's a lot of slasher movies. That's kind of a popular thing. Like Friday the 13th, perfect example. They came up with the title before they had a movie because they're like, this movie title will sell. I mean, originally the movie was supposed to be called The Hollywood Strangler, which I thought made more sense.
Listen, I mean, from a story standpoint, yeah. But I mean, Friday the 13th is obviously now it's an iconic title, but I don't think if it was called The Hollywood Strangler, it would have had the same amount.
No. Friday the 13th wasn't going to be called The Hollywood Strangler. Don't answer the phone. It was going to be called The Hollywood Strangler.
Doesn't that make more sense to you?
Dude, because you confused the shit out of me with that because
that O was so
hard. I was like, I don't know where that would apply, but
I mean, Friday the 13th doesn't make sense anyway. It has nothing to do with like nothing. It doesn't matter like what it's called, you know?
Yeah, but even with this movie,
yeah,
if it was called The Hollywood Strangler, I still think it would be a big piece of shit.
Even if I'm not saying it would change it. Yeah,
even if this movie was called Friday the 13th, it still wouldn't be a horror movie.
Oh, it surely was not a horror movie.
Oh, it was horrible already. Come on.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it.
Was it just because there were so many titties in it?
No, I think it had to do
with... Or did you watch the unedited, like, the TV
version? I had gone out to dinner, and I had a few glasses of wine with dinner. So maybe I was, like, really into, like, a dumbed down. I was like, yeah, I'm into this. I was enjoying it, seeing where it went. It felt like a... You know, police procedure. It felt like a long episode of like SVU with more details, you know?
I'm glad you liked it. Because my goal isn't for you guys to hate these movies. Like, the fact that you enjoyed it made me happy. I mean, I don't hate watching this movie. I've seen it a few times. I don't think I'll watch it many more times. But it's It's fine. It's a little silly. It's a little out there. You know, it sort of reminds me of a very like underground sort of thing, a very grindhouse type movie. It was closer to All Good Night than to Don't Go in the House, right? I mean, I'd walk away, well, the quality, obviously.
They're baiting you, Jay.
Yeah.
No,
And like,
idiot, that was the other movie.
I think also like just like the dark realism of it, right? Because it's kind of like this movie feels like it was picked, like someone picked up a camcorder and followed a guy around, and this is like what he did. There's nothing in it that's kind of like humorous or like out there, like you would see in a Friday the 13th, right? Where
There were
like,
some humorous parts.
well, the cop stuff, but the killing was like,
No, but not even the cops. The cop stuff attempting to be funny and
yeah.
some of the silly shenanigans and dumb shit they were
It
doing.
was
But
a
like,
whole different tone going on with that. So,
yeah.
yeah, whole
But
different
to
tone.
me, like the funniest parts of the movie when he was shirtless, like lifting that little bar, and he was like,
Just make the weirdest sounds. He would be like,
and then
he'd be
like
like,
went on for
"Who are
way too
you?
long. And
Who
I was
are you?"
like,
And I don't
what
know
is
what he
this
was
guy
saying.
doing? Yeah. He was like saying like quasi words. He was like almost out of words. He's like, what? Barn? Bark?
Barn or bark?
What are you saying?
He was definitely a big dude that lifts a lot more than when he was lifting
Oh,
in the movie, which
absolutely.
is so funny
Oh,
that,
yeah,
like,
he's a,
he.
yeah.
Because when you look at that bar, like that bar does not is not very heavy.
Yeah.
That bar does not generate that response from that dude.
Yeah, the guy's in, he's in a lot of movies and he plays some, you know, like thuggish characters and stuff like that. But he's a bodybuilder. Like that's his like profession. Yeah.
I think they kind of knew, like, there was some ridiculous aspects to it. Like, the radio announcement said, there's a mad killer rapist roaming the streets. And I was like, is that supposed to be ridiculous and, like, over the top? Like, not funny, but, like, ridiculous. You know what I mean? For
Yeah.
the sake of, I just thought there were things like that. I was like, okay, it seemed to me like the movie was a little self-aware.
Yeah, like I said, it is like a grindhouse type movie, you know, and it has like this like dark realism that you don't really see in later slashers. You know, they kind of just try to make this horrible and scary, and that's the fear aspect, not like these over the top creative kills or a creative type villain that you'll see in like in Friday the 13th or whatever, because that's like what we, you know, use as a bar, right? I appreciate it for what it was, but it's not really my thing. There's no kills of value, like.
There's nothing over the top about it. A lot of them are kind of whimsical where he like literally just like touches their throat and they die instantly. He puts the little coin in the stocking and then like he wraps around their neck and they die
Yeah.
automatically. I don't know. It was just like a fucking weird ass movie. I didn't really like it.
It was the script writer was like living out his rape fantasies a little bit, and a lot of it seemed like a little, I don't know, like it kind of was like, I don't know, this is something that somebody thought of. Because usually in a movie with a character like this, you would make the kills more dramatic or over the top or something. But this was just like really detailed, and it wasn't detailed in the way that the girl died or anything. It was just, it showed a lot of the kill scenes unnecessarily, almost as though, not like he wanted to do these things, but like that he had thought through these things and wrote these whole scenes, you know? And I don't know. It just, that seemed a little disturbing to me. Or I was like, yeah, what am I watching, you know?
Yeah, like they've kind of focused more on like the terror and the fear that he put in these women, like the chase and them screaming and running and like trying to get away from him. There was so much more of that than the actual kill itself. Sometimes you didn't even see the fucking kill. You know, like it was just them like fucking screaming and being thrown around the house naked. The more terrifying moments, right? And not the actual death itself. So yeah, that was definitely an odd aspect of it. Yeah, it makes them it's just kind of like a movie you have like a ick kind of feeling about. And the only thing that balances it out is the like the fucking doofy cop stuff and the like
Oh
that's
yeah, the
70s
soundtrack
music.
was just some
Yeah.
next
Yeah,
level
especially the
stuff.
montage scenes. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Finding a bad guy montage, my favorite. Yeah, just a bunch of typewriters and cigarettes. There's like 50 fucking cops in here. And like I know that many cops don't work in the building, but they're all working on that one thing. Heaven fucking help you if another crime happened. You're on the bottom of the list. We're trying to find this raper.
This raper.
And we don't have to worry about getting demonetized because we don't make any money on the show. So, rape all you want. Wait, don't actually, not you guys.
Don't, no, no, he's not.
Or audience members. I'm just saying we could say the word because this guy does a bunch of raping. Supposedly, they don't show it.
No, they don't show up. But he does rip their clothes off every time with the greatest of ease.
You get more disturbing facts too from what the police tell you about the crime after the fact. It's like, oh, yep, got fucking semen on her stomach as usual.
Well, yeah, and then he had that psychic. Remember the psychic
It's
scene when he was like
like he
channeling his
pulled out,
psychic powers? Yeah, and he was like
he
very
spooched
descriptive in
on
every
her.
single.
Yeah.
He was like making like a ASMR type, like, you know, like porn romance novel. He's like, he enters the room. He sees her. She's beautiful, long blonde hair, supple breasts. He likes that. He approaches. You see the erection forming in his pants.
His
It's large,
bulging
girthy.
member.
They loved it. But she's scared. He's an intruder. He doesn't belong there. Wait, hold on. He's making a move. He has his coin. He has his coin. The coin's out. It's in the stocking. He puts it on her neck. She's dead, but he's not done yet. He has more to come, literally and physically. His penis is out now. It's like, hold on, wait, hold on a second. What the fuck? You know way too much. Cuff him. Lock him up. No, it's like clear this guy's just living his inner fantasy through this whole fucking thing, and they arrested him for no reason.
Can I see the pictures again?
That's what I'm saying. It's like his explanation of it once again is the scriptwriter. That's where I was like, this scriptwriter really probably had like some dark fantasies kicking around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can 100% believe that.
The Strangler Task Force, as it becomes known, they do hire quite a few characters to help them out, you know. The psychic is definitely one of the better ones.
See, now, there was a point of confusion for me in the movie because either it was the same person or they looked very similar. Was the psychic and the drug dealer or the drug dealer pimp
Yeah, I thought
in
the
that
same
scene?
thing. I thought the same
I
fucking
was
thing.
like, did he just get arrested, leave? And he was like, fuck psychic business. I'm not doing this anymore. Clearly, it's going to lead to me getting arrested. I have to go to where my heart is calling me. Pimps and drugs.
You know, I meant to look that up too, because I thought it was the same guy.
I did think it was the same actor
It's
playing.
his brother.
confused the shit out of me because I was like,
They
either
went
they
two
look.
different paths in life. That's a spin-off movie right there. One became a psychic, the other a life of crime.
One was arrested, the other one escaped. Which one was which? Yeah. But we didn't even talk about the therapist. And that was like, I think, the pivotal point
She
of the
was, yeah, because
movie.
she's the one that like starts piecing him together. I mean, kind of. She knows that she dealt with him. We have to more importantly than talking about Dr. Gale, we got to talk about Raymond
I
or
just that I'm glad you brought up Ramon
Colin.
because I almost forgot about him until you brought up that like she knew him. I was like, oh
I saw it on
yes,
your
he
face,
did
and I
this
knew.
really, yeah, he did this really fantastic Spanish accent on the fucking talk
Holy
program.
shit. Dude, there was fucking
He
three different accents in that.
the guy was so ridiculous.
I thought it was
Like,
pretty good.
you know, he was, it
Are you
was
being
pretty
sarcastic
entertaining.
that it was good? Like, I think you did the right job with it. Oh my God, no. He kept changing. He went from like Spanish to German to Italian to Jewish. Like, I was like, what the fuck is he doing? It's
Like,
offensive to everybody
is it
now.
Raymond or Ramon? Make up your
Yeah,
mind.
good old Ramon.
Oh my God. Yeah, so he calls her. He calls the radio station. He speaks to Dr. Gale, I guess often, because it wasn't the first time it happened. She knew who he was and she knew about his condition. Now, you know, it's funny because like she pieced it together towards the end that like this is the caller, this is the guy, which is like it doesn't really go anywhere though, because it doesn't lead to anything. Like what winds up getting him caught is that he leaves the portfolio at the last girl's house. Well, there was two girls, her and her roommate. Well, it's the landlady that starts banging on the door and he runs out and he leaves the portfolio there, and the cops take the portfolio to the porn dealer. They got a porn guy there. He says, oh yeah, this is the guy that took the pictures. That's it. And like
Right. And that
the doctor had
identified him.
nothing to do with finding that guy.
When I was watching it, the guy that plays the porn dealer, I was like, this guy's definitely dead now. There's no doubt in my
Oh,
mind. He's, he died like minutes after shooting.
Sam Gluckman?
Yeah, but I was like, this guy, it was just like, oh God, I hope he makes it through the shoot. I'm gonna have to recast him.
Yeah, what
You
a
look at him when he died.
you see a different fat guy, and then
Like, we lost Gluckman.
Now we got Sam
I'm
Gluckman.
Gluckman's son.
Yeah, no, the whole thing was odd, and like it, I guess that's why they called it "Don't Answer the Phone" because he called into to her show multiple times. Like, I
Oh
don't
yeah, that's
know,
got to be the
man.
only
Like,
connection. I'm
because
assuming.
it didn't really have anything focusing or
No.
revolving around a phone other than
First
like a
kill.
couple of times Ramon called into the station to
Right.
go
No, the
talk to
first
the
kill.
therapist.
He's not killing her. He's just.
Yeah.
But I thought that was going to be like a thing where every kill kind of dealt with the phone. Because I'm like, oh, she's distracted by the phone, so she's not paying attention. Like he calls into the radio station and gets the next victim because that's the doctor's patient. Like I thought like that was going to be a thing, but it really wasn't. I think the only reason is because they just needed a cash grab because they knew what they had maybe. And like the only like specious reasoning is like they have a radio talk show host that's like a lead character and she is the one that deals with him or Ramon.
Even when he killed the prostitute, right? Even when he killed the
They're called
prostitute.
hookers, Jay.
Yeah.
The call
I'm sorry. Well,
hookers.
what does she identify herself as on the talk show? Because she called up like after he was done with her, which is odd because like I feel like he only slept with them after he killed them. So in this one, he actually slept with her before, and then he had her call up the talk show and was like, "Oh, hey, like I just want you to know that I'm a hooker and like, I don't feel good about my profession and whatever." And then he just fucking starts choking around. He's like, "You happy about that one?" Like, and fucking like through the phone. It's like, what happened to Ramon? Are you not Ramon anymore? How come Ramon didn't get on the phone?
And he didn't kill that guy. He which is also kind of interesting because he did not
Yeah.
kill the guy, but he kills women.
Right.
He could have murdered that
He
man.
could have easily. And I thought he
He's a
was going to.
witness. No, he just begged
That's
him to throw the
exactly what I
bottle.
thought.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy has seen you and he will turn you in immediately.
He didn't kill
Oops.
Darnell. He let him
Yeah. And you were gonna think like, oh, this is gonna be the thread that gets him caught. But then there's like the shootout with the cops and he dies, but
Right.
he's that was our only witness. And it just like another random thing gets him caught. So it
I
just
mean,
seemed
yeah,
that was
but
sloppy.
in a way, yes, I agree. But if it was done a little bit better, actually, it would have been pretty cool because, like that's like the frustration, right? Like they're so close, right? They had a witness, he gets killed. This radio host knows the name, but it's a fake name, and we don't have the real number. Like there's always like almost got him moments, but because it's done so silly, because the cops are silly, it's
Right,
just
but even
it's sloppy.
I watched. That's the only scene where I had to rewind. I was like, "Why did that just happen?" Like, it just seemed
No reason.
so, yeah.
I think the strongest aspects of the movie, if I had to like name them, would be we kind of know the killer from the get-go, right? There's no guessing game. We don't have to
Right.
like figure out who he is, like in the other movie. It's like a whodunit. And a lot of slash movies, you don't know who it is. We meet him in the beginning and we know he's the killer and we're with him a lot. Like we have like inner dialogue. We have like these big long, like, monologue scenes where he's talking in the mirror and stuff like we mentioned. So there's that, right? It's different. And I think that they do a pretty good job. Well, I mean, he does a good job with sort of getting to some of these women. Some of them he's just in the house, sneaks up behind him, and that's it. Like the beginning of the movie, there's nothing really to it. But like there's like the, trying to get them to come back to do modeling. That's like his thing as a photographer. I thought a lot of those scenes were good because like I got a reaction out of it. Like I got like a feeling from it, like it was very like realistic looking and the way like he would just sort of approach women on the street and instead that guerrilla's film style that they have. Help. Those are some of the moments where I'm like, yeah, this movie definitely succeeds in a horror movie. Those moments were definitely terrifying.
Yeah, I really think what they could have done to make this better movie is tighten up the kill sequences, really, you don't even have to show them, make it more of a like you see this crazy person, before and after the murders, but not showing as much of the murders, which kind of puts it into the horror genre. You could include instead like how he goes about choosing victims and stalking them and like his plan, that kind of thing. So you kind of see this more of a cat and mouse game. I think there was a lot of potential there for that. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I think he did a really good job. That's why I liked it, is because I saw the potential for it in that, and I
Yeah.
just thought it was 0% a horror movie, because of what Jay was saying about the kills. It's like he was like, oh no, she's asleep.
And she's out. Okay.
Yeah.
The movie's kills are a lot shorter than the last one we talked about. There's only seven kills in this film. Spoiler alert, one of them actually includes the killer himself. So to talk about the kills, let's talk about the cast. We follow psychopathic strangler Kirk Smith, who starts the movie by strangling our first victim, Doris, a nurse who's at home on the phone with her mother. And this will be one of the few times a phone actually matters. We'll try to make it count. We're soon introduced to Dr. Lindsay Gale, who runs a radio show on self-help, and she speaks with the killer through her talk show. We also meet Lieutenant Chris McCabe and Sergeant Hasher, who are tracking the killer with their task force. Our second victim is Carol, who is a patient of Dr. Gale, who he tortures and mostly kills off-screen. The third victim is Sue Ellen, who is strangled. The fourth victim is a hooker named Denise, who is, surprise, strangled while over the phone with the radiotherapist. Our fifth and sixth victims are Erin and her roommate Kathy, who are both strangled in their home. And then we close out the film with the final kill, which is Kirk Smith himself, who is shot to death by the police. a little bit underwhelming. We also have a bonus kill with Darnell. It's nothing to do with the actual killer himself, but is a kill in the movie. He is shot to death by the police. And that's the kills for Don't Answer the Phone.
But yeah, a lot of death scenes were just crap.
The death scenes, I think that the kill, like the actual in home invasion scenes were really long and detailed and drawn out, and like some of it was weird, you know, because he would, you know, he was self-aware enough to be able to play these different roles, you know, which made him a little bit more menacing, you know, where it was like there's the photographer bit and stuff like that. But then he was just so unhinged in other scenes where it felt like inconsistent. I don't know. It was tough to understand how somebody, that's where I think it was like something like exploring like characters like Son of Sam or Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson, you know, people that were very intelligent but just very, you know, involved in a lot of brutal killings, is that there's this weird combination of a sadistic intelligence.
Out of curiosity, like, what were your expectations of this movie, just knowing the title and like seeing the last movie? Because this is kind of what would have happened back then. Like, you wouldn't really know much besides like seeing an ad in the paper with the title.
So my initial thought process on this movie was going to be obviously more centric on the phone element. I thought it was going to be a more of like a thriller, I guess, with like something to do with the phone. Like I mentioned earlier, either picks up the phone, calls somebody, and then tracks them down. Something to do with the phone. Had like almost nothing to do with the phone. But I did actually have higher expectations for it. This movie to me was just like a softcore porn with some like bad acting on the death scenes and some cheesy ass jokes that flopped left and right.
Yeah, it was nothing like I had expected it to be. I thought a completely different movie. I literally thought, I was like, oh, is this the movie that was the, oh, the calls are coming from inside the house? That's what I was like, oh, is that this one? I forget what movie that actually is. And then I was surprised to be like, oh, like I think I realized like part of the way through, like this is just like an episode of SVU where some guy created a script based on his rape fantasies. So that's not the part I liked. I like the main character. Yeah, as a slasher, it was my least favorite because I don't even consider it.
Oh, Black Christmas, by the way.
That was a movie that the calls are coming from outside the house.
Yeah.
Black Christmas.
Was that 78, 79, or?
74, maybe?
Oh wow, that was way off.
Not really. You are right. The movie, was sort of cut. Obviously, there's a lot of shit in here that you could imagine was demanded to be taken out. This movie was on the video nasty list in Britain, which is something that I'm going to get into very soon, because a lot of movies that we're talking about do fall on that list for one way or the other. When the movie came out on like VHS, which was, I don't know, I think about maybe 2 years after this, they put on what was known as a TV cut, which had like 9 minutes missing from the movie. So it wasn't up until like the DVD release, which was like 2006, where we actually got to see this movie again as it was supposed to be. Because, like I said, the original home release was completely cut. It's a pretty crappy movie, but it did really well, shockingly. It made a lot of fucking money. And I also find it interesting that the movie came out on February 29th, 1980, which is leap day, and we have a leap year this fucking year. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know.
What are the odds of that? 1 in 100.
I would love to talk about the special effects of this movie, but there really fucking weren't any. So
No.
there's that.
Well, the way he put the coin in the stocking.
The way he
What
bashed
was
that
that
bottle over the
coin?
pimp's head.
I don't know. They
It was
really
just a
didn't
way to kill
explain
her
it. I don't
quicker,
know. How? That's what I want to know. How?
yeah. Well, because the stocking would have just ripped, you know? So the coin, I guess, was like I don't know. I don't want to think about this.
Supposed to be like some kind of ritual thing, and it just made no sense because they never explained the reasoning behind it.
Of
Their
course, it's
belly
going to come
button.
on it. We all know that. They just won't show it on the TV cut.
But the
But the
psychic will
psychic,
be like, he's coming on the coin.
he knows. He knows.
He licks it. Yup, definitely semen.
Whatever. In the other episode, we were talking about don't go in the house when they were using some language that's really intolerable in today's society. And this one was no better. This one was actually significantly worse. That was the two cops. Remember when they were unintentionally raiding the pimp's den?
Yeah.
They go in and, you know, that was like a supposed to be a comedic scene, right? You know, the girl snorting the coke and everyone's just running around. The cops are here. The cops are here. And they've really not there for them. They were there looking for this other guy. And they're like, everyone's panicking. And then here comes this guy, runs out of the room for no reason at all, for on either side, the cops or him. They just start pulling guns and start shooting at each other. I was like, this is the most ridiculous, over-the-top fucking scene for no absolute fucking reason. Like, it made no sense to me. I'm like, the Strangler himself was dropping N-bombs left and right. He had some real racial tensions going on.
Oh, yeah, to Darnell Adkins. And he didn't even give a shit about that. He just was upset being called dumb, which was, like, supposed to be the funny part about it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like, oh, you think you could beat this honky up? Huh?
It kind of spirals, because after that scene, which is fucking one of the best scenes in the movie, you have that Benny Hill fucking chase around the hotel, and people coming out with other people's clothes and shit, like this crazy music. I'm like, what is this?
But right, the cops like flapping the S&M guy. He's like, you all right there, buddy?
Oh yeah, that was a joke he made, because the one cop was like gonna marry the woman up front, and then when this guy came out with the BDSM stuff on and he runs out, he's like, you got another ring?
We get that monologue right after that with Kirk Smith right in his house, like just sort of talking to himself about all sorts of I guess he thought that was going to be his like big moment, you know, like he thought that was going to be like,
he really tried to like show his range, you know. He had the ugly face whimper crying, you know, which was like really just like embarrassing. But I thought some of the mirror acting, where he was kind of like right. talking shit to himself in the mirror, I thought that was actually pretty good, you know, like, because like we've been in a place where you kind of like interact with yourself in the mirror, and you know, not like you're talking about some of the shit he did, but
Jay,
like, but you know, there were some things that were a lot better than others, let's say.
Do you think he did a good job in the movie? The movie is very silly and over the top, but do you think he was good?
I think so. I think he did a solid like C+, B-. Like, he was good enough. Like, I thought that's what he was, is he was this kind of he thought he was smarter than he was, and like he was very full of himself. Like, he sold a lot of aspects of this character pretty well. I think he did a pretty good job.
What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that point of view from, you know, his mental, that he's selling his character like egotistical. It's like they even said it on the radio, it's like, it's like, oh, it's like a big, strong man. And like, he even said it was like psyching himself up. It's like, yeah, you're a big, strong man. You're a big, strong man. Look how strong you are. And he did all his reps and stuff. But like, when it came down to the actual acting in the scenes where he was committing the rape murders, to me, it was just like really bad. Like, I think the monologue performance and some of the scenes were good, but I think overall he didn't really do a great job with acting, and with like strangling, just really like, forget B-horror, it was like D-horror, or like not even horror, just like films in general.
The movie took inspiration from a real serial killer. Well, two, actually. The Hillside Strangler from 1977 to 1978. Basically two serial killers that were considered one for a bit. The director, Robert Hammer, he took inspiration from this particular event. So, I mean, I think taking that into consideration, you know, you're looking at like a movie where we've seen like how many movies that were based on Ed Gein, you know. He was kind of doing something similar to that back then. And then he made it like this like silly pseudo slasher movie. And, you know, I don't think it works. The reviews are all negative. Like, I don't really see anything positive about it. But it has its place, you know, in like the chronology of these types of movies. And we're segueing out of that 70s aesthetic, and we're kind of getting a little bit more into the 80s. Like with Don't Go in the House, which came out a month later, you still see some of like the remnants of the 70s in there, but we are branching into like an 80s horror movie, because it's a little bit more, it's a little different, a little unique, better film quality. You know, this looks like a 70s movie, you know, the music, the quality of it, the feel. The clothing, the way people speak and stuff like that. Like, it does have that feel where it's in that transitional time period, right? 1980, you know, still had a lot of 70s in it. Yeah, I think it just has a lot of shitty things going for it. Maybe there was a good movie in here somewhere, but I don't know. I'm hard-pressed to find it.
Yeah, I think they just split their attention too much, right? Because it wasn't a horror movie. It wasn't really, like, a slasher movie. It wasn't a buddy cop movie. It wasn't comedy. Like, it was kind of all over the place, and they tried to insert all these elements of these different types of movies, and I think that's what just made it just like an ultimate flop, because like they spread themselves too thin. And I feel like if they would have eliminated some of those elements and focused more on the tension, the suspense of that home invasion type film where you're focusing on the victims and this is what's going on, but I think they just branched too far out with these other ideas, and it kind of deteriorated the movie.
I think it's ironic that at the end of the movie where the killer's coming after Gail in her house, that the phone doesn't fucking work, right? Like, that she all the phones are out. So, like, again, I'm just like, yeah, they really tried to, like, fucking shoehorn that phone shit in there, but it just did not work.
If you're going to try to revolve this movie around the title of Don't Answer the phone didn't even fucking ring because it was cut, and she picked it up, couldn't do it. So, like, she's trying to use the phone. So if it had some different title, like Ramon, an expose. Yeah.
My stepdad's a strangler. That would have been a good title for it.
Raymond Does Hollywood.
Because he looked like the fucking commission a little bit, you know? He was just like some like fucking TV sitcom dad, just strangling a bunch of fucking women.
I like his, when he's dying, his death sounds were amazing. Do you remember? He's
like, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, you do it. He gets the shit shot out of him. Like, that's just how he goes.
He sure does.
Yeah. How'd he die? He got shot a whole bunch.
Clearly can't, you know, win a fight. This cop is not going to be able to win a fight with this guy. But they showed, like, how he got the bullet off in his leg and he handcuffs. Like, it was always just, like, showing how he outsmarted this guy that was much bigger than him. And even, like, I didn't think that was bad, you know, the actual action between the two of them at the end.
And I thought that it was another ridiculous scene was when he exploded out of the cuffs. How many people in the world can do that? Like, this guy can just break his cuffs. And it, like, the first thing I thought of was the meme when he's like, I can break these cuffs. You can't break those cuffs. You ever seen that meme video?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what I thought of, but he did it. He fucking broke out of the cuffs. And then, like, when he gets shot into shreds, that's it. Game over. The movie's done. And I was like, no resolution. No, like, they put in time to do all this, like, buddy cop stuff and all these jokes and all this stuff. They couldn't give the extra 2-3 minutes to, like, wrap it up. They were just like, he's dead now. Roll credits.
But it was like short, silent credits. It was, yes, like, and movie's over. Bye. We got to mop up all this cum.
Why did you have to do it? You didn't even show it. You know, the movie kind of goes, right, like, it's almost like you're watching two movies, and it's like you have this, like, maniac walking the streets of Los Angeles, picking up women and trying to, you know, and killing them and coming on them. And then, supposedly, and then you have this, like, you have this buddy cop fucking element where it's just, like, silly music and all of these jokes about cops hunting down this killer, who's a pretty serious dude, but they don't take it that way. That juxtaposition is so strange to me. And then you have, like, the romance scene, apparently, like, you have the romance,
right, with the cop and
we were talking, obviously, a lot of horror, as is our thing, but there's other things we're into besides horror. Matt, what have you been into this month besides this shit?
I watched this detective procedural movie called Don't Answer the Phone. No, that was not a horror movie. No, so
give it a chance. Oh, I ask.
I downloaded I've been playing a couple of new mobile games on my phone, and I realized the secret to playing gacha games and not spending money is you pick up two of them, and as soon as you run out of energy on the one, you play the other. And we were having some problems with something related to the podcast. My suggestion was, well, maybe you guys should download Archero. How would that help?
And I was like, how is that going to help?
How is that going to solve the problem? And I was like, well, it won't. But it will if your problem is looking for a fun game to play. So it's honestly, is work's been good and life is good. And just looking for, I haven't set up my gaming area upstairs yet, so I am still situating the gaming nook, so to speak. And so right now I'm just kind of messing around with games on my cell phone. I watched a few other movies, nothing that was really outstanding, you know, things that were just like, okay, that was a movie. Like, what was that Nick Cage movie where he's in people's dreams?
Dream Scenario.
Really bizarre movie. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it was just weird as fuck. Stuff like that. That's about it.
There was a real don't craze, you know, that was started where like don't answer the phone, don't go in the house. And then a couple of months later, like in 81, we had don't go in the woods. That was don't answer the phone. And next week we have don't go in the house. And we'll talk about how that movie was a little bit more unique. And that's pretty much it for tonight. So I hope you guys enjoyed. If you want to see this movie, you could check this out. It's available on most streaming platforms, but you have to pay for it. I don't know. Did you guys find it for free? Sometimes it's free on YouTube.
No, I rented it.
Okay, Jay. I'm not going to ask you, Jay.
Yeah, don't ask. It's better
Yeah,
to
so
not ask.
you could rent it on Amazon or anything else that any other streaming service you use for renting movies. It's cheap, you know, I think it's a couple bucks. I don't know that you need to see it. It's probably a pass for most people. You've heard us talk about it if it sounds interesting to you. It's a very specific type of movie. I guess check it out, but otherwise, I think you could skip this one. With that said, thank you very much for listening and have a good fucking night.
Ramon dice good night.
Good night.
Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Also, you can follow us on social media. We have Twitter, and that's at Sexy Vamp Teeth. We also have Instagram at the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. So if you guys want updates on the show, please follow us on our social media sites and make sure to tune in every Monday night for a new episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and good night.
You've been listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
Jay, you missed an opportunity to say adios, creepo.
Adios, creepo.